Audio is working, and let me put up the study on another shut Sabbath. And here we are, happy as larks. Is that larks happy? Anyway. Shabbat shalom. That horn is sounding better. You want to do that again? She's holding it the wrong way. All right. It's like the horn's flying around. Anyway, we are one of Messiah congregation. We're just a happy little group here. And thank God for joy. And I was laughing this morning. I had lots of joy. I was listening to the book of Esther, Hadassah. I love when Haman got it, boy. Whew, that was great. Yay. Anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kahal HaBem Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. Today's God's time. It's God's Sabbath, and I'm really happy. And you guys are happy, too. And we're going to pray as soon as you stop being really happy. No. Okay, you ready to pray? Let's ask God to bless today. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, we thank and praise you for another Sabbath. We thank you for forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord and God, for allowing us to even be here on your holy day. We try our best, Lord and God. We just thank you for the joy you give us and the happiness. And Father, we pray that you show us where brothers and sisters are. We'll go get them or send them to us any way you want to do it, Father. Just let us know. We hunger for real, truthful people, Lord and God. Bless the study today. Bless the reading of the Word, the conversations. Let everything be done to the glory of the Father, and everything be to the edifying of the body of Messiah. Let everyone get something out of the study today. I thank God for the blood of the Messiah. May God touch you and heal you and keep you without any sicknesses or pains on his holy day. Today is the Sabbath, and I thank God for that you watch us, you hear us, you see us, and I pray your Holy Spirit will be in the midst of us today in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. God bless you. Amen. And I'm very happy to be here. You know, I do listen to my own studies, and I say the same things almost every study, in the beginning, that is. Like, you know, today is March 15th, 2014, and March has to do with the month of Mars. We all know that, right? And so we're going to pass that up. And the only thing they had right about March, the beginning of the year, which our beginning of the year is going to happen in a few weeks. We're going to be saying Happy New Year. I can see already the trees are starting to happen and the flowers. We noticed our buds were coming up or flowers are starting to pop up. Of course, we try to bring it to focus. Jehovah has his own calendar. And we're in the second Adar, the 13th day. And it's pretty amazing. Of course, we're going to be reading the book of Esther today, but that's where we find the word Adar right there in Esther 3:7. And Adar means glorious. My ministry, I guess if you don't know by now, it's a teaching ministry. I love to bring up topics and things that seem like they've been erased or deleted from the world's knowledge. You know, I don't hear too many people talking about them. I do hear some messianics now sort of copying what we teach, and they try to incorporate it in their studies. But, you know, that's fine because we're not here for glory or for any kind of accolades. We're just here to preach the word. So I try to undelete some of these things for you. For your convenience, we just updated our server, and we have a new modem, so it's really fast. So you should be able to really download, you know, the videos and the audios and the text. Text should fly, and you could actually download the MP3s to your players, whatever you might have. We're on Powtalk right now streaming. Is that correct? I hope they see me. Hello, and we're in the room too on Powtalk. You guys know we quit Facebook. That's a waste of time. You know, I always ask every week, and I would love to be invited to someone's group or congregation or somewhere, you know, to talk about the Hebrew roots of your faith from the Bible. My wife and I were talking about Apostle Paul last night and this morning, how, you know, the way they lived back then, it's so different than the way we live today. You know, everything's different. I mean, he was allowed to go in the synagogue and preach the gospel and preach about the Messiah. We could never do that today. Go into a synagogue, they have the little format. You know, you'd be interrupting everything and you'd probably be ushered out, you know. Anyway, I would still love to come to your little group if you have one, or, you know, you whoever whatever you have, I'd love to come there. You know, last week I said spring starts March 21st. I looked on the calendar. It says it's the 22nd, so spring is going to be the 22nd. Not that that's a big deal, because it's still warm out here in Tennessee, and I hope you're enjoying the day. Soon it's going to be Ha'aviv, Nisan, and of course these are the approximate dates for the holy days and the feast, which seems like I can't say them enough, okay? And you guys have this already, right? Because I don't have to go over every single date, but you could see like, God's New Year is coming. God's Passover is coming. Then, of course, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which has two Sabbaths in it. So you got to, that's something you have to work into your schedule. And also the Feast of Weeks later on in, you know, June is Pentecost, and that's also a Sabbath. There's two Sabbaths in a row, the weekly Sabbath, and then Sunday is going to be acting as a Sabbath. But there's the dates, and these are on a couple of sites besides every week's study from now on. So you can't say, well, what are the days? Because that shows me you just didn't look at the website. All you have to do is copy. They have this thing called copy and paste. You copy and paste it to your notepad, and then you print it on your printer. But, I mean, the world's made technology pretty easy. Anyway, today's topic is a review of Purim, because that's where we're at the moment. Purim's usually the 14th and the 15th. Today's the 13th. We'll read about it because that's the day we're here. And we're doing this in memorial also. Forget not Jehovah, the God of Israel. Always remind each other about the ways of God, lest you'll forget about the God of Israel. I already know that. If you don't talk about God during the week, and you know, because you could be surrounded by so many things that just have nothing to do with God. And you know what's even the tricky part? Some things are just nice and pleasant, but they still have no God in it. So you start getting deceived into just living your little life that you think you're in, and you miss talking about God, and then you start thinking, I didn't talk about God today. I didn't even think about God. What happened? And that you can't redo it. You only could learn from it. Purim is a good time to reflect and remind each other about the many things of the God of Israel that's hidden. He's invisible, and that's what makes things a little complicated for us, even though I always think the world itself and the universe are screaming out that there's a God, just by the order and the design. However, we see that in the book of Esther, this word Adar means something honorable is going to happen, something glorious, something great, and that's what Adar means. And it also means a mantle, a cloak. Isn't it interesting? The word star is hidden. We'll look at some of these words today. So we're going to be reading the book of Esther. This is not going to be a long study because we're going to read the book of Esther later. And I love reading that book because it's just I love the victory over someone that wants to wipe out, you know, annihilate the Jews. You know, it's like a Hitler and like a lot of other people in the Bible. So in the book of Esther, we have on the 13th day of the month of Adar, which is today, and on the 14th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. You know, and I'll tell my wife, it's a shame that's what's missing with us. We're supposed to be feasting and having gladness and sending gifts to the poor, you know, in of people of God, that is, not just poor devils. I'm talking about, you know, but we don't even have a community. We can't get the real feeling of this, so this is so removed because we're in this like place called America, which is probably one of the best places to live. But at the same time, it works against us because you can have no God, any God, just do anything you feel like, you know. So it's good, and there's different ways of looking at it. But right here it says, but the Jews that were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Of course, we'll read the whole story later about Ahasuerus and 127 provinces and Haman and all the events that took place. But we see that these days are supposed to be happy, And we started out this day happy so far. So I wish we could have like this feasting and gladness, you know. No, it says right here, on the 13th, together on the 13th day thereof, and also on the 14th and the 15th, they rested. See, on the 13th day of the month and on the 14th, they had the feasting. So they, for some reason, they started out with 13, 14, and 15, and they ended up with 14 and 15, which we'll see right here. It says right here, different areas. You got to remember, 127 provinces is a vast area, you know. It says, therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar of a day of gladness and feasting and a good day, and sending portions one to another. We brought our portions today, and we'll be eating. Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly. You know, it's something to be remembered, because they were going to annihilate our brothers and sisters. That's why we remember it today. It says, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make these days of feasting and joy, sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. You know, and I really wish we had a community of brothers and sisters which we could can do this with. You know? Sad, you know? It just makes me sad when I think about it. It says, and the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and Mordecai had written unto them. And Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, had cast pur, that is the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head. And it did. And that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. All his 10 sons were hanged. Wherefore they called these days Purim, after the name Pur. That's what it's Purim, yeah. Pur. It's the lot. Therefore, for all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained, and took upon them and upon their seed, which that's us also, and upon such as joined themselves unto them. Remember, many of the people became Jews. Remember that?
Right.
It says, so as it should be not fail, this day should not fail, that they should keep the 2 days according to the writing and according to their appointed time every year. You know, and it's today's the 13th, tomorrow's the 14th and the 15th. That, to us, that would be a Sunday and Monday. And isn't that amazing? We just don't have a community to rejoice with. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, every city, that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. It's almost like we should make it known these next 2 days that these are the days that our enemy Haman was destroyed. You know, earlier Hitler, you know, and many other people that want to wipe out the Jews. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew wrote with all authority to confirm the second letter of Purim. And he sent the letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the king Ahasuerus, but with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed, the matters of fasting and their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in a book. And we got it. The Megillah. Yeah, it's a Megillah, the book. So a short look at the word Adar and the book of Esther. We have the word Adar, and if you dissect it like I try to do, we have the Aleph, which is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And that Aleph seems to be silent. Sort of hidden, you know, it doesn't really have any sound. And the word dar, if you just take the rest of the word, dar means to dwell. So I see this word adar can actually lend itself to a message that says there's this invisible hidden God that wants to dwell with us and among us. And that's what I get out of this little word adar, believe it or not. And that's just something I came up with just by dissecting the words. And it's a very interesting thought to me, because in the book of Esther, the Hebrew word for Esther means star, right? But the root of the word is satar, which means hidden. Isn't that interesting? So there's definitely a hidden message here, which we're going to go through in a minute. The words God and Lord do not appear in the book of Esther. They are hidden or silent, just like the Aleph, you know, the first letter. Isn't that interesting? There's another book, the Song of Solomon, they say doesn't have the word God in it or any of that kind of stuff. There is one word there, something about the violence of flame, and there's a word Yah at the end of that word. And it doesn't really say God, but it says the mighty flame, the vehement flame, and some people say it's the flame of the Lord. So our Bible say it's the vehement flame. So I don't know how you interpret it, but it does say the word Yah at the end of it. However, the actual word God doesn't show up in the Song of Solomon. The Book of Ruth has God of Gods in it, so that some people try to say there's no word God in there, but it does say God of Gods in there. I think it's the first chapter. The words God and Lord do not appear in the Book of Esther. They're hidden. Okay, Adar can convey the meaning of glorious fire, which is light. Mm-hmm. Now, in the Book of Esther, there's a hidden message, I believe, of the Messiah. And I always think there's the Messiah in everything, somewhere, somehow, some way, you know, spiritual meanings, because there's the physical and then the spiritual. I always see resurrection, redemption, and salvation throughout anywhere. So as we read Esther chapter 3 today, we'll read the whole book nice through today, but maybe you could try to remember some of these thoughts. This isn't going to be a long study, but I just want you to think about some of these concepts. So, you know, I went through the word Adar, I went through the word Esther. Hadassah, it means like a myrtle tree or something. You know, that's her real name in Hebrew. But the word Esther means, when you parse it down, it's satar, which means hidden. So there's definitely a hidden message here, right? I mean, just with the word name. So I want to keep track of this. This is chapter 3, verse 12. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, right? So write that down, 13th day of the first month. That was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language. In the name of King Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. This king, this reminds me, this did anything, you know. I mean, he wasn't even thinking about, you know, Haman said, go on to kill all these people. Yeah, he just did it. Then later he tells Haman, who is trying to kill your people, Esther? Who's this wicked person? Well, king, you're the one who okayed it. Yeah. You know, but it's Haman, but I mean, you're the one who okayed it if you want to get technical. But anyway, we see the 13th day. And then in chapter 4, we see that, you know, Esther wants to have this banquet because she has some kind of plan. So go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye with me and eat not. It says neither eat nor drink 3 days and 3 nights, right? 3 days and 3 nights. So we got, you're starting from the 13th, right? So you got 3 more days you add to it, right? So 3 and 13 is what? 16. So that should be the 16th of Ha'aviv or Nisan. So then it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house. This guy's pretty royal. And over against the gate of his house. This guy must have been living lavishly, you know, he's the big king there. He just snaps his fingers and you could be dead or blessed by him. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Okay? Then, chapter 5, verse 8, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I have prepared for them, and I will tomorrow, which is the 17th, I will do tomorrow as the king had said. So now we're moved right up to the 17th, right? And then chapter 7, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted thee, and what is thy request? It shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Boy, he's really generous. I would have never said that. Half of the kingdom? But anyway, forget about it. But, you know, Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto the queen Esther, who is he, and where is he, that doth presume in his heart to do so? What? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. And you did too. She should have said, and you okayed it. You know, Haman was afraid, therefore, before the king and the queen, right? Huh? Yeah. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. This guy's full of wine. He's probably really uptight. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther, the queen, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king, I bet. You can tell. He didn't take very well. Then the king, you know, he just like drank all his wine. He comes back in. The king returned from the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed where Esther was. Big mistake. That's called a error. Error. And Haman was fallen upon the bed where Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? I mean, the king is like, just talk about receiving an accusation. Haman was finished. Because right at that, as the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. He's finished. And Habonah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold, also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king. Remember, he saved you. Those two guys were trying to kill you. Standing in the house of Haman, then the king said, hang Haman thereon. And they hanged Haman on the gallows that was prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Anyway, right there, the people are delivered. Yes. We read in the book of Exodus also the same kind of thing. We see another situation here. Deliverance in the shadow of Messiah on the 17th day of Nisan, Ha Aviv. If you turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14, verse 24. This is also the 17th day. And I see a lot of victories here. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, Jehovah looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Yeah. And he took off the chariot wheels, which I know you like. I know that must have been a real drag for them. No pun intending. That was a real drag for them. They were dragging. And it says that they drave them heavily so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for Jehovah fights for them against the Egyptians. And Jehovah said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength. Oh, that must have been horrible. You know, the strength of water, just the power and the weight. When the morning appeared, that morning is really important, because that's when the Lord rose. And the Egyptians fled against it, and Jehovah overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. Could you imagine that? All their wives were waiting for them back at their houses. They never showed up again. Neither did Pharaoh, actually. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left, and Jehovah saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, just like he saved Esther and all the Jews there, and Mordecai on the 17th day, just like we got salvation when the Lord rose from the dead, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which Jehovah did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared Jehovah and believed Jehovah and his servant Moses. Yeshua was raised on the third day in the morning, the 17th day of Aviv, Nisan, and we have deliverance. So we see this deliverance is all through the Bible. This theme, you know, just is a thread. It goes right through the Bible. It says, Mark 16:2 says, and very early in the morning, there's the morning again. Remember the morning? The morning. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, known as Sunday, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. It's very early in the morning. Some people go, well, Yeshua was wrote. Some people just hate Sunday for some reason. It says right here, verse 9, you can't even misinterpret this. It says, now when Yeshua was risen early the first day of the week. First day of the week is what? Sunday, right. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. So we see this victory on the same day throughout the whole body. As you can see, the scriptures have a central theme, right? And if you really have a spiritual eye, it's many places in the Bible, you know. You can see the end of the world in Joshua. You can see the whole end of the world in right in the couple first chapters of Genesis. The beginning and the end of everything. I mean, you could see a lot of stuff. Anyway, this is not a long study, I'm telling you. Today you might go, what in the world happened to this guy? He's not talking a lot. All I can say is beware of your life you so-called live. Always check for false data, false people, false situations, propaganda, misinformation, disinformation, forged documents, fabrications, and misdirection. I see that happening in our lives. You might find yourself painted in the wrong picture. I did that one day. I was in my house a while back. I was reading the Bible, and I was thinking, then all of a sudden, this reality, God just opened my eyes. I had to be God, because I started thinking, what happened? Everything of God is gone, you know? And it's pretty hard to think that when everything seems to be going nice, too. I mean, I wasn't having any tribulations at the moment. But at the same time, I was thinking, everything of God is gone. And always remind each other about the ways of God, lest we forget about the God of Israel. Seek and search out the truth. It's really important to do that, you know? Remember, the God of Israel is hidden. The God of Israel's true people are hidden. God's land is given away. The God of Israel's commandments are hidden. His Torah, his laws are all forgotten. God's feasts are forgotten. God's Sabbath is definitely forgotten. The food laws are forgotten. God's calendar. I mean, you could think of a lot of things that are just totally erased that you don't even know that they're missing. So you've been painted in this other life called your life, and you know, most people don't even realize everything of God has vanished. But we do. We try to bring it across to people. Now, this might shock you. This is so sad that in most Bibles, from the Hebrew, Tanakh, in English, the word Yah and is only one time in Psalm 68:4. And it's over, when you look in Hebrew, it's over 50 times. Okay? So here we have the word Yah erased. That's why it's very suspicious sometimes when I think about how the Bible was put together by Catholics and Protestants, you know. Then I see the word Jehovah through the whole Bible is only 7 times, when really there's 6,500 times it's missing over that. Over 6,500 times the word Jehovah is missing. And now with the advent of the computer, I can look these things up. That's why I get these numbers. But I mean, look how amazing that is. Yah is gone. Jehovah is gone. All the other, let's see, 650 times missing. Many times the Hebrew word Yah and Jehovah are replaced by the word Lord. You know, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, or capital G-O-D. Jehovah is gone. Doesn't that seem suspicious? In most Bibles, Yah and Jehovah are missing in both the Greek and English. There's no such thing as Yah or Jehovah in any of the Gospels or epistles. That's suspicious. That's all gone. I mean, there's no more Yah or Jehovah. Why would that be? Because here we are in 2014, we're still using the word Jehovah or Yah. I wonder what happened 2,000 years ago. Somebody changed, I guess, what Apostle Paul said and what people said. That's what it seems. I mean, if I was trying to do some detective work, and we're like spiritual detectives. But anyway, it's even said, you know, in the book of Jeremiah, some people think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. And God's name seems to be forgotten. You know, we say Jehovah or Yehovah. We don't know if that's 100% correct. We know it's Yud Hey Vav Hey, but we know it's not capital L, capital O, capital R, and D. And we know it's not capital G-O-D. Somebody did something there. So in closing, you know, just be careful of things that always double check things and scrutinize everything you think you might know. In closing, we're going to read the book of Esther later, so I didn't make a long study today. It might seem very short. I don't even know how long. It's close to an hour. So all that joined themselves to the God of Israel prepared for the spring feast and holy days, which most people don't even know about. You know, my wife and I were having discussions last night and this morning how we can't hardly find anyone that wants to really do this. And then, you know, we understand that we thank God for the reasoning and comprehension he's given us and the discernment of Scripture. Because we see even people that come in our room on Pow Talk, some of them, they're still doing things we did many, many, many years ago. And they still haven't even reached the reasoning level we've reached. So we try to be patient with everyone and try to be a little, we don't like just going, okay, well, you don't, maybe you haven't had these thoughts yet. God has given us a lot of thoughts about different things, and I try to impart them unto you, right? So you could have the same thoughts and maybe examine things. There's things in the Bible that you may not understand, and I may not understand, but I'm always cautioned to watch out for all these other things that have taken over our life, different persuasions, different propaganda, you know, misinformation, disinformation, you know, things that are bombardments of things that are not true and things that people just, you know, they want you to believe. You know, there's things called the hidden persuaders, and the advertisers are excellent at doing that. They make you, they get you thirsty just by going, have a Coke, and they show this, like, you know, sizzling bottle of soda pop, and it's really hot out, and you're going, oh, I gotta have, you know, and before you know it, you're talked into it. And that's what hidden persuaders are. So you gotta, and that's an easy one, but I'm saying there's persuasions in the world, religions people fall for, a dime a dozen, philosophies, there's so many different things to be aware of, and people, you know, you got to watch out for false data too. People could try to present a whole thing to you that's false. They used to do that in World War II and World War I, where they had actual groups of people that would try to analyze false information, you know, and false, you know, forgeries of many different things. And it's a hard thing to do, because you can just get caught up into many different things. That's why you have to read the Bible yourself I always tell people, verify what I tell you. Do your due diligence to verify everything. I try to bring up a little Hebrew, which might give you a little more insight on some of these things. But these are days, yeah, they're dark. We're in a different kind of galut, a different kind of captivity, even though we're not physically in a captivity, but spiritually we're in the wilderness. Where is the God of Israel? Once you leave this little congregation today, you're back into anything goes, right? Or nothing goes. Anyway, we are thankful that the story of Purim is now flowing through our minds, I hope, and we'll read it later. It is an amazing victory that we'll, maybe, who knows, maybe we'll discover some more things. There's many things to talk about because Haman has a lot of different relatives that we could talk about later, you know, Amalek and different people that may be all in the same family. But anyway, I want to say Shabbat Shalom, and I hope you enjoyed my little talk today. So you see how the Messiah is in many different books, even a little hidden message in the book of Esther. I remember when I first discovered that many years ago, I was very excited. Thank God for that, because I seen the days. They were just matching. And then, of course, my wife was found the thing in Exodus, and then we blended everything together. And we started thinking, wow, Yeshua rose on the very same day. He died, you know. It's just amazing. It's just amazing. Anyway, I hope you enjoy these kind of studies and hope I gave you some insight in things maybe you don't think about. So there are some hidden things in the Bible, and the things of God are hidden. You have to go seek them out and search them out, the Bible says. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the honor of kings and queens to search out the matter, it says, right? Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom to you, and may God bless the rest of the Sabbath. And I thank God for giving us more understanding and discernment of your word and revelation of your word, Father. And I pray you'll give us more and more. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything, and we try to impart it unto everyone else. Bless the rest of the Shabbat. Bless the rest of the conversations, the reading of the book of Esther today. Show us more information. Bless the singing, the food, anything we do today. Let it be to the glory of God, to the edifying of the body, and to our bodies also. Heavenly Father, I praise and thank you for joy and happiness you give us in our little lifespan that you lent us down here. And I pray you will open up doors, Father. We just yearn for real brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, show us where they are, how to contact them, where to go, how to get them, what to do, Father. We need you to assist us or send someone to show us how to go get them. Heavenly Father, we ask you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you today on the Sabbath, and may God answer your prayers that you need to make it to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom to everybody out there in cyberspace. I know this was only almost an hour, so it's not terribly short, but it was interesting. I hope you found it interesting. I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom, and may God bless you. I'm going to stop the video, and Shabbat Shalom again in 2012. And I'm going to stop excuse me, 2014. No. 2014. I don't know what I'm talking about today. Anyway, Shabbat Shalom. Everybody get off the mic.